Hello and welcome to the Thursday, March 23rd edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. We've got a jam-packed show. We'll be chatting with folks from UAS and the SEAL Trust about an upcoming event, and then we'll hear about the Juno Pride Chorus. We'll chat with a local author about her new book about kids aboard the Alaska Marine Highway, our very own Blue Highway, and then we'll end with Nancy DeCharney with Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Prosecutors are pursuing their case against a man accused of fatally shooting a Navajo Nation police officer. 32-year-old Kirby Cleveland has been charged with murder in the death of Officer Houston James Largo on March 11th. Authorities say earlier that night, Cleveland was on a drinking binge that resulted in a domestic violence complaint. Officer Largo responded to that call and was shot after stopping Cleveland and one other man in a vehicle. Largo died later in an Albuquerque hospital. Cleveland appeared Wednesday in federal court in Albuquerque. He has yet to enter a plea and will remain in custody until trial. If convicted, Cleveland could face up to a life sentence in prison. Imprisoned American Indian activist Leonard Peltier is suing the state of Washington for pulling his artwork from an exhibit. The lawsuit was filed Tuesday in federal court. Peltier's son, Chauncey Peltier, says state officials, including Governor Jay Inslee, violated Peltier's rights by removing four paintings from a planned display at a state building in Olympia in November 2015.
Nothing political, nothing for sale. We're just displaying his art as a Native American artist for Indigenous Peoples Month. And evidently, the retired FBI Association caught wind of it and called the governor of Washington and asked him why they were displaying a murderer's art.
Leonard Peltier was convicted of the 1975 shooting deaths of two FBI special agents on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota and is currently serving a life sentence. He and his supporters have maintained that he was wrongly accused and incarcerated. The lawsuit filed this week contends that the state, in removing the paintings, violated Peltier's constitutional rights to free speech and due process. Peltier's son, Chauncey, again.
Very beautiful art, very good artist, and a lot of people buy a lot of his prints. And they have the right to see that, just like Leonard has the right to show his art. That's part of the rehabilitation program in these prisons, and they're basically keeping that, violating Leonard's right of that.
The artwork was later returned to Chauncey Peltier. He says the lawsuit seeks financial compensation. Attorneys for the state have yet to respond. A Montana convenience store company has been ordered to pay a fine to a Northern Cheyenne tribal member after employees refused to accept his tribal ID to purchase alcohol. The Montana Standard reports Carl High Pine filed a complaint after trying to buy a bottle of wine at the Billings 3G convenience store last March. He says the clerk told him they don't accept tribal IDs, and a sign listed them among unacceptable forms of ID. The Montana Human Rights Board says 3G violated High Pine's rights and ordered the store to pay him $7,000 for emotional distress. The board also told the store to change its policies and signage regarding IDs. A law passed in 2007 requires Montana businesses to treat tribal IDs the same as state IDs. The Salish Kootenai College women's basketball team won the National Tribal College Basketball Tournament in Rapid City, South Dakota over the weekend. The SKC Lady Bison defeated Stonechild College 82-70 in the final. Chanel Skunkcap, a member of the Blackfeet tribe, was point guard for the Lady Bison and was named tournament MVP. She says despite having a young team this year, they were confident going into the tournament.
I mean, we did really good throughout the season, and we just had to work out a few kinks, and after we did, what also helped a lot was a lot of, like, positivity and encouragement to the ladies. But I knew we could do it. I mean, we had such a great team, and I honestly was excited going in. I had no doubt.
Skunk Cap also credits her coaches, Silas Perez and Juan Perez, who won the tournament's Division I Coaches Award. The tournament is part of the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, a community of the nation's 37 tribal colleges and universities. With National Native News, I'm Hannah Colton.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. In the studio with us today, we have Shelley Delaney. She is the engineer of the show. Joan Pardis, that's me. I'm your Thursday host. And we're going to kick off the show in just a few minutes, but let's talk about the weather. It's 37 degrees and light rain at the Juneau International Airport. This afternoon, we're looking at showers, likely precipitation, 70%. Tonight, the same. We're looking at scattered rain showers before 7 p.m. and then scattered snow showers between 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. And an east wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation tonight, 40%. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high near 43. And tomorrow night, a chance of rain before 10 p.m. and then rain and snow. So looks like rain during the day, snow at night. And Eagle Crest still has a ton of snow and out the road. So it's not over quite yet. So here we are. Every Thursday, we typically start our show with representatives of the University of Alaska Southeast. They come in from out the road, from the campus out the road. And today we have Dr. Brian Buma, who is a professor of environmental science at the university, and Avery Stewart, who is a student, a senior. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
So you are both here to talk about Eureka. What is Eureka?
Yeah, Eureka is the Undergraduate Research and Creative Activity Program at UAS, and the purpose of the program is to support students in research or creative activities, essentially student-directed efforts for them to follow up on something they're really interested in. Students can propose to do anything related to research or creative expression in concert with a faculty mentor. And we get these proposals every year. This is an ongoing program, and proposals are judged on their likelihood of success, their plans for sharing their results, or their creative product with the community and their originality.
Okay. So before we talk specifically about what's going on with Avery and his project, in the past, what kind of projects have you mentored?
Sure. So in the past, we've had projects going all the way from understanding the forest ecology on the Herbert Glacier to creating artistic installations around campus and around town. I should say this year we had an excellent group of students. We actually awarded almost $18,000 to students this year, $17,977, to 11 different students. Excellent, excellent proposals. Of that, only about $5,000 came from the university. The remainder came from a variety of generous private donors that we've been working with to expand this program. We had monies come from Emma Marks Foundation, which focuses on native languages, Icicle Seafoods, the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center, the Bald Eagle Foundation, and a couple other privately funded grants for undergraduate research support and student engagement. Some of the great a great project this year is working on a phone app, so you can go around town and display Tlingit place names.
That's great.
It was really just a really creative and really interesting idea to engage the community in the history of the location.
That's great. Before we talk with Avery, I've said that already twice, but I have more questions for you, Dr. Buma. So how important is a program like this?
These programs are just invaluable to students. These sorts of student-directed research experiences really give students the opportunity to be a leader and a principal investigator, a PI they're called in the grant world. Students come up with a budget. Students have to manage that budget. They do that as part of the proposal process, and then I should say they manage the budget once they're awarded. And so they really get the full spectrum of running a grant and conducting a study or conducting some sort of artistic output. So it's quite important. Students have all sorts of great opportunities at UAS for volunteering or working on people's grants or working with faculty grants or those sorts of things. But these sorts of opportunities are ones where students can really stretch their wings and build their own portfolio.
Right. Okay, that sounds great. So, Avery, what is your project?
So my project is producing an album professionally from between 4 and 8 songs and releasing it and going through the entire process of just putting this project together, releasing it on an online website like Bandcamp, and then donating proceeds to the Glory Hole. Juno.
Great. So how long have you been a musician? I'm assuming that you're a musician, singer, songwriter?
Yeah, so okay. I've composed all this material myself over I started playing about 10 years ago. Started up with guitar. My dad taught me a few chords, and I've just kind of ran with it since then. It's really been this go-to hobby outside of school and academics and all that I've pursued. So this is really an opportunity for me to take all this material that I've written and composed and put it into some tangible physical thing, a record essentially.
I've
never done that to this extent. I've recorded just basic things on a laptop until this point.
Oh, that must be really exciting. And what kind of genre are you talking about?
Some rock music, some sort of Latin themes, folk, singer-songwriter, alternative, kind of all over the board.
Okay. And Dr. Fuma, you're his mentor in this project?
Yeah, I am. I've done a little mixing in my deep past, so this is a great opportunity. I should say that this is a great example of that because mixing and mastering from the point of view of recording is a skill, is a serious skill. And it's something that costs money and takes specialized equipment to learn. And it's not something you can just get kind of free off the internet. So this program really is allowing Avery to get these skills and get exposure to these skills. And it's something he wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Right. Well, just, 10, 15 years ago, this wouldn't even be available because you're talking about sound engineers and editors and huge studio equipment. Isn't that like
exactly.
It's changed so much that here now you could do that. This equipment's accessible, but it's not something that you could just, mix
online.
Yeah,
so it's not something that, exactly.
Can't
just look it up.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for participating in this program. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to say that every year the Eureka program does a public symposium where students get to present their results or present their ongoing efforts or demonstrate what they created or their artistic installations or what have you. This year, the public's welcome every year. This year, of course, is no different. It's April 5th from 2 to 5:30 p.m. at UAS in the Glacier View Room, which is in the Egan Library Building. So April 5th, 2 to 5:30, everyone's welcome to come and see what students have been up to.
That'd be great. So I guess they'll listen to a couple of songs and hear presentations about research, about the forest and the new app and so on and so forth.
Music to crab hormones to place names.
Well, thank you so much. It's always great to have people come in from the university, like it's for, like drive down the road to come to town to talk about what's going on because it's such a fabulous resource here in Juneau. And if anybody is interested to find out what's going on at the university, you could always call them at 796-6000 or check out their website. So once again, congratulations, Avery. Thank you so much for what you
do,
Dr. Puma.
Thank you.
And have a great day. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
love you, baby. You know the rest.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. Northern Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council presents the 6th Annual Clink Wine Tasting Event, April 4th, 5:30 p.m. at the Jack. Sample 40 wines from around the world, courtesy of Specialty Imports, while enjoying hors d'oeuvres and live music. Reserve tables are available and tickets can be purchased at the Jack or online at jahc.org. Raise a glass to support the Jack on April 4th. Cheers.
It is 18 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Shelley Delaney is at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And our next guests are from the Seal Trust. They're having a fundraiser this Saturday. So we have Nancy Waterman, who's the board secretary at the Seal Trust. And then we have Linda Nicklin and Teresa Sevenkara, who are the presenters for this event that's happening on Saturday. So welcome, ladies, to the show.
Thank you.
So, Nancy, let's start at the very beginning. What is the Seal Trust?
Southeast Alaska Land Trust, incorporated in 1995 to take care of land management type interests in all of Southeast Alaska, but we're based here in Juneau.
That sounds great. So, okay, and then there's an event this Saturday. It's a fundraiser. Can you tell us a little?
That's correct. Like all nonprofits, we're always raising money. We're always interested in having new members and participants in our activities. So our mission is to cooperate with the community and landowners and others to ensure that habitat, recreation, open space, and historic areas remain in place for the well-being of generations to come.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Our fundraiser isn't focused in Juneau or Southeast, though. It's in the Northwest Passage, and that's a place where change is happening, too. I got to Juneau in 1970 when there were 13,000 people in Juneau, and we were mostly downtown. And now think of how spread out our population is, and where we have our open spaces and how important they are to us. That's what Seal Trust is here to help maintain for future generations.
That's a great example. That's a really great example.
Yeah.
So what is the fundraiser? It's called Northwest Passage, the 21 years apart, something along those lines?
That's it. Northwest Passage, transit 21 years apart.
Okay, so that was Teresa who's talking, and she's also here with Linda. So who did the transit first?
I did. This is Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it in 1995. I was working on a small eco-tour ship, 230 feet, and I worked as a naturalist and a Zodiac driver. And we went through the passage twice, actually, from east to west and then west to east. And we had about 40 paying passengers on board. We experienced a lot of sea ice, and we needed to have an icebreaker that helped break us out twice. Twice we got stuck.
Okay, so anyone who listens to the show knows I ask a lot of questions. So let's start with the very common denominator. The Northwest Passage, where is it?
Excellent question. Okay, the Northwest Passage is the route that connects the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and it goes over the top of North America. So it weaves its way through a lot of islands in the Canadian Arctic and over the top of Alaska. So if you started from Alaska, you would go north and go east through the passage and end up in the Atlantic Ocean.
And where did you start?
Well, we started in Greenland, crossed Baffin Bay, and then entered the passage on the east side, went all the way through, and then came back east and ended in Greenland again.
How long did that take you?
Took us 35 days.
Okay. That seems rather quick. Okay, so that was in 1995. Linda, what's your experience?
Well, I was on a ship called the Crystal Serenity this past summer, 2016, and we did a 32-day trip that went from Seward, Alaska, to New York City. So we went through that same Northwest Passage to the Canadian Archipelago and over to Western Greenland and then came back to the east coast of North America.
21 years later, you shave off 3 days.
21 years later.
I bet there's a lot more differences than that. But
there's a lot of differences. Yeah. And I also was on a ship in 2013, an expedition cruise ship that did a similar route to Teresa's 1995. So we'll draw on that a bit in terms of what we talk about at the presentation this Saturday as well.
Okay, so it's a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. It's Saturday at 7 p.m. And where is it?
At the Egan Lecture Hall, okay. UAS campus.
And it's a fundraiser. Is there a...
Yes, there's a suggested donation of $20, but we're really happy to have people come and enjoy the then and now comparison that Teresa and Linda will be doing.
That sounds great. So the format will be sharing two experiences and then talking about... is it like kind of like questions and answers after?
Well, we're going to have a lot of images. So we're actually taking you on a Northwest Passage trip through images and little video clips. So you're going to get to see a really remote part of this planet. And it's not going to cost you the thousands of dollars that it normally would cost to go do a trip like this. For instance, the trip I was on cost our passengers anywhere from, depending on the quality of their cabin, from about $5,000 to $6,000 or $7,000. And Linda, what did your passengers pay?
The least was $25,000, and the most was about $120,000 per person on our trip. And we had 1,000 passengers on our ship, so yeah. It's a little different environment.
So what Linda and I really want to do is compare what we saw. Mm-hmm. So the visuals, the experiences we had, what trends are happening in the Arctic. Ice conditions, one of the biggest things you probably think of. But a lot of things are happening, too, with the communities up there. A lot of changes. They have a whole new governing system with Nunavut. Of course, climate change. A lot of things happening there with wildlife. So should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to sharing these stories with Juno community.
It sounds fascinating. That sounds great. Nancy, you want to add
something? Our president, Alec Wertheimer, will be introducing Seal Trust also. There will be a slideshow going when people come into the lecture hall. So come a little bit early and enjoy the various places, the images of the places that Seal Trust has protected for our community.
It sounds like a wonderful evening. And if people want more information, what's the website where they could go?
Yes, website is Southeast Alaska Land Trust, all written out, .org.
Okay.
Southeast Alaska Land Trust .org.
Okay. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in and taking everyone in the studio and who's listening on a little trip through the Northwest Passage. If you want more, check it out Saturday night.
Great.
All right. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea, traced in one warm line through a land so wild and savage, and make a Northwest Passage to the sea.
Broadcast support comes from McDonald's of Juneau, now serving for a limited time Shamrock Shakes. McDonald's is open daily on Trout Street.
The Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum is a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting the goals and activities of the Juno Douglas City Museum. Invest in your community art and history with your 2017 membership. Learn more at junomuseumfriends.org. Admission to the City Museum is free through April, courtesy of community sponsors. This message brought to you by Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum.
It is 27 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Shelley Delaney is at the board. I'm your host, Joan Pardis. It is still 37 degrees and light rain, and it might be like that for months to come. But right now in the studio with us, we have Leslie Wood and Jean Finley of the Juno Pride Chorus. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Joan.
So let's start at the very beginning and indulge me. What is the Juno Pride Chorus?
Well, we're a group of women who started singing about 20 years ago. And it was started by parents and friends and families of lesbians and gays. So we are sponsored by that organization, and we're a group of women, all different kinds of women, 20 to 30. We've ranged from about 20 to maybe 40 over the years.
And PFLAG, that's the acronym.
PFLAG,
For the parents and families of lesbians and gays.
Yes.
That's the proper name. Okay, and Leslie, what is your involvement with the Pride Chorus?
Well, I was one of the founding members, as was Jean, and in 2000 I became the conductor of the group, and I've been conducting for 17 years. And we're so excited to be celebrating our 20th anniversary as a chorus.
That's great. Congratulations. So is there a concert coming up?
Yes, there is, this Saturday night, March 25th at Northern Light United Church at 7:30. The Pride Chorus will be singing our hearts out to our adoring audience and families and friends, and we hope that we can pack the house for our 20th anniversary.
That sounds great. So each concert, do you, as the conductor, you put together the evening, correct? You pick the music and such?
Yes. So this year we're singing favorites from over the last 20 years, and we have two new songs that are really fun and rousing. And then we have a couple small acts. The ensemble called the Pitch Hitters is going to be singing three songs, and then there will be a duet by another two members of the chorus. And Betsy Sims is our sound extraordinaire, and we have a guest trumpeter playing with us, Kristen Mabry, and we're so excited about that.
That's what I was going to ask. Is there music? I guess, you know, not beyond vocal music, is there instrumental music? So you'll have Kristen playing the trumpet.
Yes, and we also are accompanied by our wonderful Jackie Farnsworth on the piano.
Okay. So you said some of your favorites over the past 20 years. Can you tell us one or two? Don't give away the whole program. But
One of my favorites is a song called Power Tools, written by Ann Reed, and it's pretty fun, jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard, but it's fun to sing.
And what about you?
Well, we're singing a song called Arise, My Love, which is my favorite. And I love the meaning of this song because it talks about we might have storms and hard times in our lives, but there's just one river of love, and that brings us all together. And it's just a beautiful piece.
Okay. All right. And have both of you sang in different choruses over the years? I mean, is this the first time you've been in a chorus, or have you been involved with lots of choruses?
Oh, I was in a chorus in grade school and high school, and this is the first one I've been in since then, so
okay.
Been a while.
What about you, Leslie?
Oh, high school and college, and then I've participated with the Byron McGilvery and the Barney McClure, and Jean did the gospel choir 1 year, and so we've been involved with community music. The Pride Chorus is quite a big commitment, so we've been doing that as our main focus.
That sounds great. And how many concerts do you usually do in a year?
Well, one paid concert, and then we usually sing at the Folk Festival, and we are opening act on Monday the 3rd, and then we often sing at other community events such as the Gay Pride Festivals and wherever we're asked if we can swing it.
That sounds great. So the one paid concert is coming up Saturday night
at 7:30 at Northern Light Church.
Okay, and where can people get tickets, or is it just at the door?
We sell them. Chorus members sell them, and also you can get them at the door. I don't know if it says anything.
You can also get them at the Jack.
Okay, great.
The box office.
This is the 20th anniversary concert?
Yes.
Okay, so you heard it here. You've got to be there. Northern Lights.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, John.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up. Because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, filled a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Subway can't rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin, believe capital H. Whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, chola, descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast for leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, chola, or Orient, made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave.
KTOO is supported by Alaska Communications, helping businesses grow for over 100 years. Alaska's broadband and IT solutions provider. Information at alaskacommunications.com.
As a KTOO listener, you expect to hear smart conversations about important issues every time you turn on the radio. We bring you facts and analysis, not partisanship or hype, so you can form your own opinions on the news. You count on KTOO for informed, insightful reporting. Don't take coverage like this for granted. It's here for you, thanks to the generous financial support of our listeners. We're raising the funds right now that make KTOO possible. Be part of the effort at ktoo.org.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Shelley Delaney's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and our next guest is going to chat with us via phone. We have author Erin Kirkland on the phone with us, and she has a new book out called Kids Aboard the Alaska Marine Highway. I'm not sure if that's the proper name for it. I was on her website today, but we're going to find out from Erin. Hi, Erin. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Joan. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. So what is the proper name of your new book?
The proper name is Alaska on the Go, Exploring the Alaska Marine Highway System with Children.
Excellent. I was on your site today. It looks great.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
So, Erin, first of all, where are you calling us from? Where are you?
I live in Anchorage.
Okay. Hello, Anchorage. So
that's
let's talk
right.
about this book and the inspiration for the book.
Well, this is the second book in the Now Alaska on the Go series. The first book was an overview of traveling Alaska with kids. And as I was tossing around ideas for this second book, I kept coming back to the history of the Alaska Marine Highway, and it's really such a cornerstone of coastal Alaska and how important it is to us as Alaskans. So I really wanted to pull that aspect in and draw more people to come travel aboard the ferry, even given, you know, the current budget state that we're all in right now. This is a really important mode of travel.
Yeah, we all know that down here. We
mm-hmm.
all know that in
Absolutely.
The Southeast Passage. This is
Absolutely.
Our transportation. So that was your inspiration to focus on the Alaska Marine Highway, also known as the Blue Highway. I think we call it the Blue Canoe.
Blue Canoes.
Blue Canoes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Sorry about that. Blue Canoes. Anyway, so I was wondering, so how did you do your research?
My family and I, so my husband and my son and I, traveled every single route of the Alaska Marine Highway, which, you know, is about 3,000 miles worth of coastline.
That sounds so much fun.
Actually,
so much fun.
Yeah, you know, and our very first trip, multi-day trip aboard the Alaska Marine Highway, we actually started in Juneau and went up Skagway and then Sitka and traveled through Cake and all the way around to Ketchikan and just had a spectacular time. And I thought, my gosh, if we're having this much fun, I am sure other families will too. It's just such a homey, comfortable way to travel. It's very low key. You see the same wildlife that, you know, the cruise folks take or see. And we just love getting off and getting to know Alaska's communities. Our favorite route, which I'm sure you're going to ask, is the Aleutian Chain.
Tell us about that.
That is, if you want to see real unplugged Alaska, that is remote and rugged real estate out there. And it reminded us a little bit about like traveling the Irish coast or the British coast, because it's so cliff-like and green and beautiful. But when we got to Dutch Harbor, we realized what an amazing World War II history is still there. And for our son, who was 10 at the time, this was an amazing look into a patch of Alaska history that he really wasn't that aware of.
That sounds great. So you left from where to go? You know, well, we Southeasterners know all
right.
about our area.
Yeah.
Where did you start from, and what was it? Was it the Tutsimina that went over?
It absolutely was our trusty Tusty, which I felt like we were, you know, we were traveling aboard definitely, you know, the stalwart cornerstone of the ferries themselves.
Going
so
to the Gulf.
Tusty,
yeah.
Oh, yes. And she's an old ship, but my gosh, it was really a lot of fun. So we started in Homer and traveled across to Kodiak. You can also start in Kodiak. And then from Kodiak, you kind of zip all the way across and start going down the chain to all these little communities like Chignik and Cold Bay and Sandpoint. And 3.5, almost 4 days later, we reached Dutch Harbor.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
And so when you were traveling, did you stay in these communities or did you just kind of go out and, you know, explore a little and then come back to your trusty boat?
So that's an excellent question, because folks who travel aboard the Alaska Marine Highway have sometimes the option of both. It just kind of depends. If you're traveling down a route as remote as the Aleutian Chain, you know, your destination more than likely is going to be on Alaska Dutch Harbor. So you stay on board. The ferry pulls into various ports, and you have sometimes up to 4 hours to explore. and then you move on your way. But when we travel specifically around Southeast, that is an excellent opportunity to hop off and on. Like Wrangell, we stayed 3 or 4 days. Sitka, we stayed 5 days. But it does require a little bit of jockeying around with the ferry reservation system. I always recommend people call the reservation line and let them solve it because, you know, as you know, some days the ferries are there, some days they're not, and they come at funny times. So especially with kids, you need to really dial into that schedule.
It is, because it's all about the tides when you say, why are we getting on a boat at 3 a.m. in the morning?
That's exactly right. But, you know, for our son, it was a little bit of a mysterious kind of experience and not all that unusual for people in Southeast. It was kind of exciting for him, a very new thing, but definitely, and that leads into the next thing, is that we definitely reserve staterooms on board for multi-day trips because it's just so much more comfortable for kids than trying to, you know, elbow your way into the lounge and hopefully not always get a spot to spread out your sleeping bag.
And the solarium, the very coveted area of the solarium.
Yeah, people are ruthless.
Yes, I tell you that we Alaskans, we are just ruthless. It's our little traffic
jam. It's just our ferry.
Exactly.
But, you know, when summer arrives, the population of ferry riders goes way, way, way up because a lot of people are dialed in from sailing from Bellingham, Washington, which is another great trip, either to or from. But that's where, you know, those boats are full, and you need to reserve early if you want to get a stateroom.
They absolutely are. If you're just joining us, we're talking with author Erin Kirkland. She's got a new book out about traveling the Alaska Marine Highway, The Blue Canoe with Children, and this is her second book. So now that the book is out, what's the plan? Do you have a rollout? Are you coming down to Juneau? Are you traveling the ferry? What is the plan for the book?
Oh, well, we're rolling it out here in Anchorage on April 22nd, and then summertime will almost be here. We'll be traveling all around. I haven't quite decided when I'm going to be headed down to Southeast, but I'm sure that is going to be a very first-time kind of popular place for us to be visiting. So we'll get down there.
That would be great. And so if people are interested to find out more about the book and check out your website and your blog, where can they go?
They can go to akonthego.com/book, and that will take them directly to the book sales page, and they can also find the first book there, and they can order it directly from me, but definitely some stores in Southeast will be carrying it.
That sounds great. Erin, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you so much. I hope you all climb aboard this summer.
Oh, absolutely. All right, great, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up.
So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion. Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat.
Our voyages led began. Your touch has thrilled me like the rush of a wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean,
and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through. Our love is like a ship.
Funding support comes from Alaska Pure Mountain Spring Water, now under new ownership and delivering locally bottled fresh spring water in 5-gallon jugs to homes and offices. More information and service startup at akspringwater.com.
Hi, this is Sarah Raster from the Year of Kindness Steering Committee. As part of 17YOK, all sorts of groups are adopting specific weeks during which they do something to help spread kindness. This week's group is Bartlett Regional Hospital. You can sign up for a week by emailing 17YOK@junopolice.com. Together, we make Juneau a better place to live.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Shelley Delaney's at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host, and we end every Thursday show with our Arts Up section. Nancy DeCherney, the Executive Director of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, is here to tell us about our arts calendar for the weekend.
There's a few things to do.
Just a few.
And actually, start this evening, they're having a bone marrow registry drive out at the Ethel Lund Medical Center until 6. It may not seem like art, but it's definitely something you might want to think about doing sometime. Let's see. We've got tango dancing, theoretically, tonight at Channel Dance Studio and To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't remember how many more weekends there are of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I actually know the answer to that. I think it ends on April 16th, and I actually went to the show opening night, and I want to say everyone should be running and getting their tickets right now. It's perseverance at their best. It's just a fabulous play, and it's a fabulous production. Congratulations to everyone involved.
So there you've got it, folks. And it is one of those things where you think, well, I have until April 16th. I have these other things to do, blah, blah, blah. And then April 17th will roll around, and you'll go, what? I forgot. So don't do that. Okay. So it is still spring break. Are you having a good time?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah, good skiing and all that sort of stuff.
Excellent.
We have on Friday, the Salvation Army is having a lunch, a fundraiser from 11 to 1. And I know they always do a great job over there. $10 for some stew and stuff. It's the Home and Outdoor Living Expo over at, I think it must be at Centennial Hall. Starts at 5. I think they do a wine tasting as part of that, as it says 21 and older only. UAS has the first annual spring showcase event. This is going to be amazing, people. This is free. The GIT, and I'm going to mispronounce it. I should have gotten this pronunciation thing. GIT Hayetzik. No. Anyway, Native Dance Workshop. They're free, and it's a wonderful opportunity to see some masks and a lot of Michael D'Angeli, who's the new CI professor out at the university in the art department, has put this all together.
And when is that and where?
That is on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m.
Great.
And it sounds like they're going to do this every year, and it's a really wonderful opportunity. I've seen some of the masks and stuff on social media places, and they're just, it's beautiful. So
great.
And like I said, it's free. Yay. There's a fireside chat out at the Mendenhall Visitors Center talking about Seward's Folly. This is Wayne Jensen. They do that at 6:30 and again at 8, and that's also a free thing. There's a Juneau ballroom dance at the Jack. It's back to the 60s. You were just fussing about the 70s.
Off air, yes, we were. And so it's the 60s.
It's the 60s. And, you know, come on. It's going to be great.
And when is that?
It's at the Jack from 7 till 10:30 p.m. There's going to be a Rueda lesson by Mark Hobson that starts it off. It's a pay-as-you-can. And one of the really nice things about this is that the Juneau ballroom dance people, the pay as you can, they just give the money to the Jack to help support us. So it's a really nice thing. They always decorate really nicely, and it's a lovely opportunity to dance and have a good time. And we'll get to more about dancing if we have time later. From 7 to 8 on Friday night, there is the Great American Solar Eclipse. They're going to discuss that at the Marie Drake Planetarium. Also free, although for students, and if you're an adult, it's $5. You can, again, go to the Market to Kill a Mockingbird. On Saturday, The home show is happening over at Centennial Hall. There's a little admission fee, but it goes on all day. And it's the Rotary Club's annual food drive. They do this as a competition. There are many, I think now four Rotary Clubs in this town, and they compete to see who can raise the most poundage of food. So don't buy oatmeal. Don't buy oatmeal anyway.
We're talking cans here.
Well, I was just actually heard someone who works at the food bank saying, don't bring beans. They have plenty of beans and they have plenty of oatmeal and stuff like that.
It's good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know the things that they do need. And I think there will be bags prepared at Foodland and Super Bear, so you can just pay $10 and get your bag. Anyway, it's going on from 10 until 4, a wonderful opportunity to help the community out. It is the Juno Raptor Center's 30th anniversary and annual meeting at Mendenhall Mall from 11 to 2. They're going to have the staff and the birds there, so you can see some crows or ravens or something, I don't know. From 11 to 5, there's tax aid, free tax preparation at the Nugget Mall. So if you need a little help with your taxes, it's particularly to serve people who are over 60 or people who may not be able to afford a tax preparer. But I think if you're just needing some help, go on in and ask. There's a UAS dance marathon from noon to, it's going to go 12 hours. So if you're ready for that, it benefits World Vision and Clean Water in Developing Countries. It doesn't say where it is exactly, but I suspect it's the Rec Center. Juno Cabaret has been doing these series of songbook-type things over at the Slam. They're wonderful, and they're doing another one on Saturday of songs by America or by female composers. It's at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3:30, and that's a pay-as-you-can event as well. I have been able to take in a couple of them, and they're really quite fun. There's acoustic bluegrass at Bullwinkle's at 4. There is, again, the Native Dancers out the second showcase from 6 to 8 on Saturday. There's a whale tail painting party at Louise Miller Fine Art Studio, a Big Dipper presentation at the Planetarium. You were just talking about the Northwest Passage.
Yes, so yes, that is a sealed event at Saturday night.
Right, and the Pride Chorus, you mentioned that, their 20th anniversary.
Absolutely.
And there's a March Barn Dance at St. Anne's Parish Hall, up at the St. Anne's Parish, obviously, with Rumblefish and Tom Paul is Calling. On Sunday, the home show continues. There's some international folk dancing, and you can see a matinee of the To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of us are sort of matinee-type people. On Monday is actually Seward's Day, and I believe they're going to be drawing. The people have been trying to raise money for the Seward statue. They'll be doing a drawing up there where the statue is going to be.
And so where is that? Where's
up in that little plaza by the federal or by the court building.
Oh,
somewhere
okay.
Up there. I'm not sure. There's also always a pancake breakfast over at the senior center. So that's go help out the senior center.
Put your kids on the bus because spring break is over and go get some pancakes.
Go have some pancakes.
And say, woohoo, spring break is over.
There's Skiers Friday on Monday. At the hangar, they're having happy hour food and $4 beers and a delicious steak sandwich special for just $6 and a free yoga class in the ballroom with Bree. So yes, those fun things to do. We are going to have something that we do every year, which is a community calendaring meeting. Have you ever sort of not wanted to have your fundraiser go toe-to-toe with somebody else's fundraiser and things like that? We try to get everybody together, map out the entire coming year so that we don't have, you know,
so many conflicting things.
Exactly.
Night.
We can't avoid them because there's only 52 weekends, right? But you could have.
Juno, Alaska. So when you say everybody, who do you mean by everybody?
If you got an event and you want it on the calendar and you want people to know about it and not put stuff on, social service agencies, just regular people, whatever. Just come. It's from probably about 3 in the afternoon till about 5:30. It's just kind of a social thing, but it's also a really important thing to do. We've had a couple of mishaps this year in terms of collisions fundraisers in particular. We don't like that. There's a film called Midwife, A Look into the World of Home Booth at the Home Birth. Oopsie.
I was like,
Okay, well, okay. And let's see, Tuesday there's a yoga immersion and aware advocacy training begins and children's life skills. Wednesday, I think we got enough stuff. Oh, the Tongass Democrats are having a dinner at the A&B Hall, and the Rain Country Fly Fishers are doing a fly.
What night is that?
That's on Wednesday night. They're calling it a tie and lie meeting. I guess that's what you do when you fish.
That's when you talk about the fish you catch.
how big they were and stuff like that. So lots to do.
Okay.
I think we're good.
All right. Well, Nancy, thank you for braving the rain and coming on over.
Yeah, it's spring out there.
Okay. It is. It is. At sea level it is.
Yes.
Up top it's a whole other story. So thanks again,
sure.
Nancy.
Thank you.
And thanks
we'll see you something.
For all that you and your crew, your mighty six, do for the capital city. So here we are. We're at the end of the show. It's 3 minutes to the hour, and I'm going to let you know what the weather is. Right now it's 38 at the Juneau International Airport. We're looking at showers likely this evening. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Tonight, that was this afternoon, tonight scattered rain showers. We're looking at precipitation of 40%. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high near 43, east wind 5 to miles per hour, and tomorrow night a chance of rain. So thanks for joining us in the studio. Shelley Delaney on the board. She did a great job. Thank you so much. And myself, Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. So at any time, if you want to listen to Juno Afternoon, you can just go to ktoo.org and click on it and listen to it on demand. Thanks for sharing your day with us.